Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our blessed Lord had many occasions upon which he might have proclaimed his kingly dignity. He might have done so, for example, when the three magi came from the far distant east to Bethlehem inquiring, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They brought him gifts meant for royalty. But our Lord did not choose this occasion. Again, our Lord might have proclaimed his kingship on the occasion of his first miraculous multiplication of the loaves and the fish. That would have been the perfect chance, the perfect time to make himself king after working such a marvelous miracle. But that was not to be the time. He might have chosen Palm Sunday as the perfect time to announce in the most clear terms possible that he is king. As the people lined up in the streets shouting their hosannas and spreading their cloaks before him and waving their palm branches at him. But it was not to be that day. He could have chosen any one of these grand occasions to announce his kingship, his royalty, and his kingdom. It would have, after all, made perfect sense in the eyes of all the world if you're going to proclaim yourself king after all. Why not choose an important occasion? Yet God sees all things differently from us. God's ways, they're far from ours. And besides, he wanted to teach us something more about his kingdom. So he chose what, in the eyes of all humanity, would seem to be the most unlikely and unseemly time to tell all the world of his kingly dignity. Think of it, all that had just happened. He had just been betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, betrayed with a kiss of hypocrisy by one of his closest friends. And all of his other friends, when they saw the soldiers approach our Lord to take him away, all those friends with whom he had just spent the last 3 years of his life, keeping them in on all of his most intimate secrets, teaching them the path to heaven, and teaching his sublime doctrine. These friends saw the enemy and ran away, leaving our Lord at the mercy of a mob. And our Lord had just been rejected by his priests. Think of that. Rejected by his priests, the very ones that should have pointed him out to the whole world. And then he was bound in the garden, bound with cords, and led first here and then there, as if he were no more than a dog on a leash, God himself treated as a dog. And then he found himself brought before Pilate, there to be sentenced to death before a mob. Here it was, this time, this occasion, God had especially chosen to announce, "I am a king, and this is my kingdom," in the most clear manner. "Art thou a king then?" Pilate asks. "Thou sayest it, I am a king." And not long after, he was taken and scourged at the pillar. And then he was given a crown of thorns for his crown, and a reed for a scepter, and for his kingly garment, an old raggedy garb. So he was chosen or treated as a mock king. He chose this occasion to teach us something about his kingdom. And what is that? That one aspect of his kingdom is humiliation. Imagine what Pontius Pilate must have been thinking on that occasion when our Lord said, "I am a king." What do you think went through his mind? He must have looked our Lord in the face and said, "Here is a man that says he's a king. But where is your land? Where is your territory? The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You have not defeated and conquered territories in far-off lands. The only land that belongs to you is the land that upon which your feet are standing at this moment, and nothing more." He might have asked our Lord, "Where are your subjects? Your friends have fled. Your priests have rejected you. And now the Jewish people stands outside my gates in a mob, shouting out, 'Crucify him! Take him away! Kill him!' We have no king but Caesar." That must have been what was going through Pilate's mind at the time. But this was only one phase of the kingdom of Christ. It was the earthly phase of his kingdom. For all of his humiliations, all that he endured in the passion, the crowning with thorns, and the crucifixion, would soon enough be turned into glory and majesty. He would rise again the third day and ascend by his own divine power into heaven, and he would take his throne at the right hand of his Father, and all of his enemies, those who had mocked him and spat upon him and maltreated him and mocked his beautiful doctrines and refused his kingdom and hated his sacraments that give life to the soul, all of those enemies are now his footstool in heaven. And that beautiful vision of the apocalypse is going on even now for our blessed Lord. It says, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients, and the four living creatures, and they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God." For our Lord, it was first the crown of thorns, and only then a crown of glory. And so also is it with us. That is how it's meant to be. We are still living in the earthly phase of Christ's kingdom. We shouldn't be looking for an earthly glory here. Rather, in this phase of his kingdom, we must accept the fact that our crown is a crown of thorns. That is, all the humiliations that God will send our way, we must take up and wear on our head. Be humbled, St. James said this in one of his epistles. Be humbled in the sight of God, and he will exalt you. And the Catechism explained, it says, "The gate of heaven is narrow, and only little ones, that is, the humble, can pass through." Now, we all of us, I'm sure, have a great love for Saint Bernadette, and no one doubts the fact that she is now in the glory of heaven, enjoying her reward, gazing upon the beauty of the Blessed Trinity, and once more seeing the face of Our Lady, whom she had seen 18 times at Massabielle. Yet her path to glory was no different from our Lord's. It was filled with thorns of humiliation. Her family was poor and was forced to live in a jailhouse not even fit for criminals to live in. She was a little slow in learning, and the younger children learned their catechism more quickly than she did, yet another humiliation. And during the apparitions, Our Lady humiliated her as well. Our Lady once told her to wash her face in the spring that had just miraculously come up. It wasn't at that moment, the spring had not sprung totally. It wasn't full flowing or anything. It was perhaps at that time just mud, maybe muddy water at the most. And Our Lady looks at Bernadette and says, drink from there and wash yourself in that spring. And by the way, there's some herb next to it. Eat that as well. Bernadette was embarrassed to do such a thing. She had to be told not once by Our Lady, but two, perhaps three times to wash herself in that spring. She was so embarrassed, and yet she did it. And then, with mud-smeared face, she got up and had to face a mocking crowd who by now thought that she was crazy. In fact, many of the people in the town thought that she did see these visions and they were true, but many more thought that she was insane and should be locked up in an asylum. The civil authorities did not believe her. The church authorities questioned her prudently about the visions, and never once did she give a haughty or a prideful answer. And when she arrived at the convent in Nevers, her superior, I believe it was Mother Vazou, misunderstood her all the time and treated her harshly. Not a word of disrespect or complaint was offered to this superior. Truly, our Lord's words were verified in Saint Bernadette. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But what about you? What about us? We certainly want a crown of glory, and we're willing to share in our Lord's glory in heaven. But what about the crown of thorns? Can you put on the crown of thorns that our Lord offers? God does not often send us those extraordinary humiliations as he did to the saints, but we can do the little things to humble ourselves. Maybe you're the sensitive type that can't take much joking and teasing. Well, if someone teases you next time, simply smile as sweetly as you can, and silently, in the depths of your heart, unite your humiliation with our Lord crowned with thorns and offer it to him. Or when you're corrected, accept it with mildness and don't excuse yourself. But this was really the case. No, let it go. Don't excuse yourself. Just take the correction in silence. Or sometimes you should perhaps refrain from speaking about yourself, or when your accomplishments aren't recognized and your talents ignored, simply offer up the pain and make the intention to use all of your talents to please God and God alone. Or maybe you have some sort of sickness, whether of the mind, anxiety or depression, or of the body, some embarrassing illness that you have to endure. Give it to our Lord. Or maybe it's the embarrassment of old age and you're not aging gracefully. Offer that up too. Or put another's needs before your own wants. This is especially necessary in family life, to put others' needs above yours. And when embarrassment and humiliation comes unexpectedly in your life, well, accept it with just as much grace as you can and unite it to our Lord's humiliations. But finally, today it's all about a kingdom and a crown. We are followers of Christ and heirs to his kingdom, but never forget when it was that he decided to announce, "I am a king." It was at the beginning of his passion when he was about to be most humiliated. But that crown of thorns became for him a crown of glory. So it shall be one day with us. But in this earthly phase of Christ's kingdom, wear the crown of thorns, for eventually it will be turned into a crown of everlasting glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.